Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thanks for staying with us. You heard our conversation earlier on with the Minister of Police, Minister Senzo Mchunu, who says they really want to be dealing with the kinds of guns that are all over South Africa, many which are illegal. He says, number one, he also feels that we need to tighten the regulations around acquiring guns. We obviously spoke about other things as well, but I wanted to get a sense from a gun-free South Africa whether the ministry is on the right path. Adele, Kirsten, we've spoken many times about your concerns around the number of guns that are lying out there. Good evening and welcome. And what's your take on what the minister has to say?
Good evening, Pumela, and hello to the listeners. I think it's very encouraging. Obviously it's a high level overview of what the minister's planning to do. But I think there are a number of things that are encouraging. One is just actually acknowledging that we have high levels of crime, that is unacceptable, and foregrounding the importance of public safety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we haven't had the ministry say that for a long time. And that includes protecting cops and recognizing that police officers are also vulnerable, in particular to gun-related crime. I think the other thing that he says quite clearly is recognizing that guns are the weapon of choice in violent crime. And he focuses on illegal guns, and he hints a little bit that the legal trade has some role to play in it, because he talks about looking at the private security industry regulation thing. I think he doesn't go far enough in that he mentions all the various kinds of crimes. And in all the crimes he mentions, whether it's the extortion rackets, whether it's the assassinations, whether it's children, well, getting caught in the crossfire, all of those crimes, guns are involved. But I guess that's the kind of detail we would hope for later. I think what's also important is he identifies key constituencies and locations that are affected by high levels of gun violence. So this is beginning to drill down. So this idea that violence and crime affects us all, but it affects us differently depending on where we live and in fact who we are. So he mentions children. But he doesn't actually talk about young men. You know, it's young men between the age of 15 and 29 that are most at risk. And maybe some of these things are, you know, about really trying to kind of get a purchase on some of the stuff, bring us, the public, into his confidence. And then he will, begin to spell out what it is. And I think the budget tomorrow is going to also give us some idea of
his
how
priorities.
Is what he said today actually reflected in the budget.
He speaks of tightening regulations. So you just spoke about the fact that obviously he touched a little bit on the private security element of those guns and what kind of guns they have at their possession. But the tightening of regulations, what is your take on that?
So I think what's important, or what we read into his statement, is that he understands that the legislation and the legislative frameworks provide an important guidance for SAPs and how they do their work. They've prioritized the SAP. The SAPS Police Act.
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct. And he sort of says there should be a review of the CIRA Act.
Yes.
But he doesn't mention the Firearms Control Act. And in fact, he doesn't mention the bill. There is a bill that was published in 2021, and it was sitting on the previous minister's desk. So he doesn't talk about that. And that worries us, especially given that he has emphasized the problem of gun violence. And we know that strengthening the gun law and reducing access to guns in the licensed domain will reduce the number of illegal guns floating around. So that's a worry. But, you know, I think there are sufficient signals that he's given that the door is open for engagement now. He also acknowledges civil society as an important role player. So I think, you know, I think there's some really encouraging points that are made, and I think he's opening the door for input and for engagement.
The Firearms Control Act, you've mentioned that, you know, you'd obviously have to come back to this and you need to nudge him. That's your job, I think. The bill. According to yourselves, is it satisfactory or does it need a bit more work?
I think it does need some revision, but the bill that was published in May 2021 had some fairly substantial strength clauses of strengthening and limiting, for example, the number of guns in the dedicated categories.
Mm-hmm.
It also repealed Section 13, which is the section in the law that allows for a handgun for self-defense.
Mm.
And there was this big resistance to that. So I would say that's a very significant strengthening.
Mm.
And then it stalled. It came to a standstill.
Yeah.
So the question is, I guess, I think in its current form, it most likely needs a review now. We're talking 3 years down the road. But I think there are lots of clauses that everyone can get behind. For example, really limiting the ammunition purchases and also raising the bar for gun ownership
the
around
criteria.
Domestic violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beforehand, it's a fine or a conviction. And now it's the amendment was actually the issuing of even an interim protection order. So I think the challenge for the minister is to look at the current amendment and see what needs to change. How do we put in place the clauses that will have the most impact on reducing gun availability? So he's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
And there are lots of us knocking on his door, but my sense is that he's got a high level kind of approach to this thinking, and that gives us room to engage.
The minister obviously started off by acknowledging the team behind him, the people on the ground, General Masemola being one of those people, and saying, look, we have confidence in them, but they have to still kind of prove their worth, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing now. For some time, I think people had lost faith in the previous minister. General Masemola, yourself being one of the people that has engaged with that office, do you think they are also on the same page about what needs to be done?
Well, I would think that's one of the tasks of the ministry is in to provide that strategic direction and to bring them along. I think the proof is going to be in the pudding. So, for example, around the gun issue, we would call for specialist firearms units to be reestablished. And that comes directly then, under the kind of control of the National Commissioner. So I think we need to now see, and fairly quickly, a shift in the way that the police are operating. And of course, that's going to take time and patience, but I think we can't wait. By we, I mean the public, in terms of the police really beginning to take seriously their role and their constitutional obligation, actually, to keep us safe.
And that's General Masemola's job. Let's talk about the prosecutions and the difficulty, I suppose, in getting those prosecutions through. Your sense of what needs to be done there.
So now, Pumelo, I'm going to tell you, our experience is in kind of firearm-related violence, and we focus on the weapon.
Yeah.
So kind of further down the line, it's really not an area of experience or expertise for gun-free South Africa.
Okay.
So I don't want to offer an opinion. For us, what's important is in gun-related violence.
Yes.
The gun has to be recovered, and the perpetrators have to be arrested. And we see when we, so to give you an example, from the families we work with mostly often mothers who've lost sons in gun-related violence. 5-6 years later, the docket is still open.
Mm.
The gun has not been recovered. The perpetrators haven't been found.
Mm.
And the investigating officer is slow to keep the families updated on what's happening.
Mm.
So in a way, that's a key part of the central, you know, the criminal justice system. So we know from our experience of supporting these mothers that really needs to be sorted out. So I guess it links to a little bit about the prosecution kind of line.
Adele, have you requested an appointment yet? How far down in the queue are you to get in to meet the minister?
We thought, you know, obviously the minute he was announced, we've been talking to obviously colleagues who work in this space.
Yes.
Do we do it jointly?
Yes.
How do we go about this? And I think there was a sense of let's give the minister a space.
Yeah.
He's having to get handover from the previous minister. He hasn't worked in the criminal justice sector before, but we know he's run departments.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got those decades of experience.
Mm.
But I think it's been very helpful, and I think the right decision to wait, because I think the statement really helps us understand a little bit more about how he's thinking about the issue, and it provides some substance for us to now engage.
But just maybe quickly before I let you go, is that the point you make, and I know it may be just a passing sort of point, but I think it's important that he doesn't come from the sector. In my view, probably a good thing that you are bringing in someone with fresh eyes, not someone who's been embedded. Your sense of bringing somebody totally outside of the sector, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think the proof is going to be in the pudding, so we have to see.
Mm.
But I think you're already seeing from his statement that he's operating as a kind of high-level strategic thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's been missing.
Yeah.
So I think that is the role of the minister. I think the issue of who the national commissioner is and bringing someone in who hasn't been a serving police officer, I think that's much more problematic.
Yes, of course.
But I think in terms of the minister, you know, if you think of it, of the, you know, since 94, I think there's really been a range of people. But I think we'll have to see how this evolves. And, of course, he's just in the position. We can't wait another 5 years. We hope that we're going to see, you know, some kind of shift, at least within the next 6 months.
Appreciate your time, Adele. All the best, and thank you so much for talking to us this evening.
Thanks, Pumela. Always good to talk to you
Thank you. Adele Kirsten is Executive Director at Gun Free South Africa. We've spoken to them before. And, of course, the concerns that they have raised with us before, just too many guns out there, mostly illegal, some stolen from the police, some, you know, there's just all kinds of reasons why there are those guns. But they have been really, really concerned. And this is one of the reasons we see the number of killings, gun-related killings, because of the number of guns that we have just lurking around. So we just wanted to get a sense of what do they make of the plans that the minister is putting forward. 086-00-00959. Dr. Selby, good evening and welcome.
Pamela, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Dr. Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
But now I'm worried already. O ka se gimetse ka budget go loatle.
E ya ntate so.
you never empty the sea with a medical bus.
Okay.
Firstly, before kabo ka confiscation, it's not to la mnyako o di tunya tsedi kana nka ona ho community.
So when I shebileng that this will be di tunya tsedi tswa kae?
Di tunya tse di a rotate. Ba ntshwara ka tunya siya police station bas khotlisetsa ho community.
Yeah. So that this will be one of the things that Gun Free South Africa has been doing, and they agree with you actually, by the way, is honali case ya kholo that they've been dealing with. Yeah, di tunya tse di utsitsweng ke actually quite a senior police person go Cape Town who used to basically ha di tunya di confiscatiwa. Mo thing. So when I bautwara when the crime ba confiscate as tunya sahau, ne? This guy who was in charge of that particular unit, the tunya ze used to sell them back to the criminals. In fact, not just criminals, to the gang community ko Cape Town. This guy who used to run that particular unit. And so they have done a lot of work to try and prosecute this guy and to try and get the tunya tseo back from the gangsters still, because they were guns that belonged to the police, that belonged to crime, and yena, instead of destroying these guns, adirekisa back to the gang. So they agree with you. They agree with you there.
And again, I go Cape Town fair.
Yeah. No, since I get your the case I think Nele Kulu, because this guy unali based go Cape Town.
Then I have about 2 or 3 times. I hold one new or a kuwale, kutuse baba ini more, bakutise tadi tunya tse ku community before bata wadi confiscator, because kutu baba yeta rich baba busy wadi confiscator, bona bakhono di rekis baba pa business kama
chama. Yeah, in fact, the case setting how kai shebella how maybe somebody aga obala yona tsi lilingri tla bua ka yona. It's called the Prinsloo guns. And it's unbelievable, because as you are saying, kisaikele into ditunyatse every now and then di khutlala back to batho ba ba bolayang bana ba rona ka tsona.
That means ba di confiscate ba fa
ba di rekisa. Exactly.
Yeah, utsho ba fa ba tswa chelete.
Exactly.
Ba ba confiscate le 50 ya ditunya gore thanks God.
That's it. Yeah, unfortunately. Thank you, Tata Selby.
No, thank you.
Tata Sifudi, good evening and welcome.
Evening to you, Sister Melanie
Guy. Then, Ligai, Tata Sifudi.
She was. Today's time has flown, man.
No. But at least I have time for you, Tata Sifudi. Always have time for you.
Yes. you know, Sister Melo. I agree with the previous caller, Tata Mo. There is a forensic investigator who was killed, I think it's last week. Mm. Investigating this municipality police.
Yes.
Who were following gangs, cash highs, gangsters, guns, and that guy was about to reveal them.
Yeah, they killed him,
investigator, and he was killed. Mm. So the minister has got a lot of work in his plate, and I wish him all the luck. But let's go to the U.S., my dear.
Hey.
What we call the Second Amendment in the U.S., the right to bear arms. But she's coming a 20-year-old. About to do that, but it's not for the first time. The U.S. is notorious in assassinating its president and people of influence. For Kennedy, Malcolm X,
Martin Luther King.
I mean, the U.S. ought to take, as you said, a deeper look at itself, and it cannot call itself a leader of society. Whereby guns violence has been, you know, allowed to proliferate and guns are sold like hotcakes there, and for a 20-year-old to play that and to shoot at the president, and many people, a couple of people died there. And it's an indictment, and to me, Mrs. Dumelo, America ought to take a deeper look at itself.
Absolutely.
And rearrange its points, because the U.S. cannot, does not deserve to be called a leader of society. Good evening to
Good
you.
Evening to you.
I enjoyed your show.
Thank you, Ndata Sefudi. Thank you so much for calling.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.